Hey there, welcome to the Small Business Tips Podcast presented by Amelia. I'm your host today, Ashley Wood. Thank you so much for spending time with us this week. Make sure you've subscribed to the show on your listening platform of choice. That includes Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. Also, if you're looking for more free educational content that can help your business grow, visit Amelia.com. That's AMILIA.com. If you've been listening to our other episodes, you're probably wondering, where's Matt Fish? Don't worry, he's fine. He's actually right here. We thought it would be weird for him to interview himself today, because we're going to be talking about content and how you can be getting the most out of what you write, record, photograph, and anything else you want to do online to increase your online traffic and get that buzzworthy brand recognition and ultimately grow your revenue over time. Matt, welcome.
It's nice to be here. This is weird for me to be on the other side of the table. So hopefully it turns out okay.
It's really great for me. I feel like I graduated from guest to host.
Does that mean I graduated from host to guest? Or I think it's a step up. People don't have to listen to me drive the bus. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for doing this also. For stepping in as host, I appreciate it.
Happy to. So you've done what, about 8 episodes now?
Yeah, this is going to be episode 8, 9, depending on when this rolls out. So we're nearing the end of our first season.
And I feel like we don't know enough about you.
Oh, okay.
Who are you? Why are you here?
What's my favorite color? What's my sign? So my official title here at the company is content specialist. Before I started at Amelia, I've been here as of the airing of this podcast a little over a year. I was a professional broadcaster. I was in radio. I was in digital media online. So sort of bringing a whole bunch of different sensibilities to that or to the role that I have now. Went to school for communications here in Montreal. So generally speaking, I knew I wanted to be sort of in this content wheelhouse, but how exactly that manifested itself was a bit of a longer road, I guess, than some people.
And why'd you join Amelia?
At the time I was looking for a little bit of a change in my own career path. It was getting to be a little bit discouraging, honestly, working in the broadcasting capacities that I had, because they're just, unlike Amelia and unlike a lot of growing, really vibrant tech companies, among which I would count this organization here, there wasn't a lot of room for evolution or just innovation in general. It was a lot of, we've done it this way for 30 years. We're not going to make any changes for you because you're some punk kid off the street who's in his mid-20s and doesn't know. So yeah, I had moved from radio. I was doing a little bit of blogging. I was dabbling in a whole bunch of other stuff. And, the opportunity came across my desk. And I guess the rest is history. And now we're here in this very recently new recording studio. So this is fun. I still get to play around and do broadcasting type stuff here. And I'm very thankful for that.
Good. And we're thankful for you.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Do you want to get started?
Let's dive right in. What have you got for me?
What makes online content so exciting?
I think what makes online content more exciting than ever is just there's so many opportunities for you to connect with consumers and with an audience. There's more room for stuff like podcasting, like video, and we're going to talk about that more in detail in a few minutes, I'm sure. But 10 years ago, the blogging sphere even was not what it is now. The social media sphere is not what it is now. And over that decade, that evolution is pretty startling. And it's still pretty amazing to consider that through all of that, businesses can still kind of do a lot of this for free. Like, it doesn't cost you anything to blog on a regular basis. It doesn't cost you to be sort of on social media trying to gain a presence there. And with the types of cameras that are in people's phones now, it doesn't cost you anything to go out and, tape some 30-second promo on your iPhone X or something like that, right? There's just a lot of things businesses can do to really connect on that deeper emotional level, because that's what inbound marketing really is all about, is forming those relationships instead of talking to consumers from like, oh, I have something to sell you type thing.
So you mentioned podcast, you mentioned blog posts, videos on your phone, promo videos. There's a lot of options here. How do you get started? How did you get started when you started?
I think getting started for anybody listening, an entrepreneur, business owner, business manager, you really sort of, I think, have to be honest with yourself in terms of how much time you can commit to it and what your resources are. And everybody's got a little bit of something. It depends how big your staff is. It depends how much content you're doing already. And it depends what industry you're in, because some industries, I know the some industries that we work with, such as cheerleading, for example, they're very based in social media and they're really active in that sort of content domain. Blogging maybe a little bit less so, but then you could have an audience, a clientele that is sort of better read, maybe a little more, I'm going to look for my help articles online. And you just have to find that niche. And I know that there are a whole bunch of businesses out there who have really leaned into educational content and have tried to be the one-stop shop for everything you need to know about something as mundane sounding as, you know, plumbing, let's say, right? Not the sexiest subject in the world, but if you're going to have all of these consumer tips on your website, people are going to then associate your brand with learning opportunities.
What would you name your blog if you were running a plumbing blog?
If I was running a plumbing blog, what would I name it? I mean, a couple of jokes spring to mind that I won't say on this podcast because we want to keep it family friendly. But I think the serious answer is doing a little bit of research online to see what existing plumbing blogs are already called is a good idea. Trying not to steal anybody else's thunder in terms of keywords, in terms of what they like to call themselves, is good. And, you know, I think a lot of times your gut reaction is the best one and is the one that you can't go with. I mean, the title of this podcast, the title of a lot of stuff that I've done over the years, content wise, a lot of it has circled back to that gut instinct. So, you know what, just like trust your sensibility, trust what you know about your audience. Don't overthink it.
I'm going to shamelessly self-promote my episode, but I think you'll agree with me that before deciding what content you write, you should check in with your buyer personas. You mentioned cheerleading's on social, but learning, I guess, what people are interested in, where they look for information will drive the content that you create.
Yeah, I think buyer personas, have something to do with content for sure. But I think it does diverge a little bit because the audience that you might be catering to with a specific piece of content might not be exactly the same audience that makes up a buyer persona that you would then try and sell your product and or service to, right? And it goes back to general awareness type content, like educational stuff, like, you know, sort of more general topics and being less specific. That I think maybe has a little bit less to do with buyer personas and more about engaging your audience. Just try and figure out people who are in the industry of plumbing. I'll go back to that. So it's not necessarily just about what we do here.
This is turning into a plumbing podcast.
There you go. Shout out to all the plumbers listening out there. So let's go, like, if you have to think about what people are searching for online, right? So if they're searching for a plumbing company, theoretically that would mean that there's something probably wrong with the plumbing in their condo, home, place of business, etc., right? It could be something as simple as, here are a whole bunch of DIY tips to fix a leaking sink, right? Or it can be somewhere along those lines. It could be a little more specific, like 10 red flags that you should find out about, you know, like, or keep in mind before you hire a plumber type thing. And again, that's not really rooted 100% in the buyer persona, but we're talking about really thinking about your audience and, you know, what problems they have, what fears they have, and creating content that satisfies solutions and or appeases fears, I think.
I found the name for a plumbing blog.
Please share.
It's shit just got real.
Can we buy that domain name before someone steals it on the, okay.
So when you decide what kind of content to create, and I guess what type of content you're comfortable creating, mm-hmm. how often should you be creating or releasing this content?
That's an answer, and it's not to, again, sound ambivalent, but it's really going to depend on whomever is listening and what their business entails. What I would say is that consistency is super important. Once you decide what your time commitment is going to be, you really do have to stick with it. And if that means that you're blogging once a week, even once every 2 weeks, that's fine. But doing it for a month, 2 months, and then stopping because A, you run out of ideas, don't feel like doing it anymore, you're not seeing traffic, all of like just sort of happen overnight. The hard truth for a lot of people when it comes to content is the traffic does not happen overnight. You need at least 3 to 6 months to really see returns. And if it's going to translate into stuff that you can, put as part of your marketing strategy, and it'll influence your revenue streams. So consistency is everything. And what may help is setting up a content calendar of sorts, you know, and that could be in an Excel sheet, that can be in your email aggregator of choice, such as Outlook, and really set yourself reminders in your day-to-day, being like, okay, in 2 days from now, we got to publish a blog post, and a day from now, we wanted to push that new podcast episode out on Apple, Spotify, etc. Because human beings are creatures of habit and creatures of routine. So if you can create that routine for consumers, you're going to be better off instead of just sort of throwing it out whenever you feel like it. Establishing that schedule and establishing consistency is super important. I think more so than how often you should post or, you know, how much of something you should do.
Talk to me about using your current staff and your current resources to create content. So if we're talking to a lot of recreation businesses, their staff consists of front desk staff and coaches, not necessarily content specialists and writers. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about how you can get your current staff to contribute to your content strategy.
I think first and foremost, getting your current staff to contribute is all about sort of selling them on why the content is important and having everybody buy into that. If everyone's pulling in the same direction and if everybody has the same goal at heart, I think the process is made far easier than if you're sort of relying on one or two people to do it all the time. I think also too, people shouldn't necessarily worry about their individual strengths, weaknesses when it comes to content. It's more about the ideas. It's more about, do you have something to say? For me, I've heard so many people, this company, other places I've worked at, being like, well, I'm not a writer, you know, or I'm not a this. That doesn't matter, right? I am a writer now just because I do it every day. But if you have a point of view on something, that's the crux of content. You know, it doesn't matter how beautifully something is written, said, filmed in terms of a video or whatever, if it has nothing to say or if it feels generic, if it feels like something that any other company could produce, then you're not any further ahead. I think once you've established that premise with your staff, then you can start dividing it into really specific tasks. And the important thing is not to get anxious or bent out of shape over creating the content, right? You have to try and structure it, brainstorming the ideas with people, outlining blog posts or podcast episodes with people, then going and creating the full piece, then proofreading it in-house. I mean, there are all these different stages that if you're planning it properly, if you're delegating the work, and if you're really open to people's suggestions, edits, etc., then I think the process really does sort of function by itself, and eventually it'll become this wheel that spins autonomously instead of you having to push it up the hill all the time.
I think there's something to be said too about having the unique advantage of, if you've got coaches and front desk staff, you have a staff full of experts in that topic that other businesses might not. So looking at it from the positive, or looking from the advantage of having all those in-house experts that have that knowledge, that have that access, that can film those routines, film those practices and rehearsals. And then write about the struggles of doing that in a business, the struggles of coaching, things that they've done that have worked, things that they've learned on the job.
I think that's super important to realize as well. And, you know, as you said, experts in their own way. And we go back to this thing of having something to say and something really important and valuable. And it's a different point of view, because this is something that I have struggled with at times. You know, I can sort of ghostwrite and help others create content, but then a lot of my voice ends up going in there, right? And not being afraid to have different points of view as part of your content, as long as it sort of aligns with those company goals, I think it's going to be fine. Because, you know, it's like somebody who's watching the same cable news channel all the time, right? You're going to be sort of a victim of that sameness. So if you have the same person doing it all the time, it's going to get stale eventually. People are going to get sick of it. So yeah, absolutely. Rounding up those different personalities, front desk staff, coaches, trainers, even parents who are there all the time and supporting the community, if they've got something to say, I'm all for giving that stay-at-home mom, dad, sibling, whatever, a platform to express themselves, because people are going to get excited that their voice, their opinion matters. And, you know, there is sort of no way of losing that sort of public PR conversation when you do something like that too.
Cool. And in your experience, what kind of content gets clicks, gets people engaged, gets people to register, sign up, listen?
I think it's content that addresses the pain points, as I said before. There's a whole bunch of stuff online about how blogging is kind of dead, how people prefer to listen to podcasts, watch videos. And I'm not saying that that's untrue, but you can still make an impact with even blogging. If you're not as creatively inclined to do something that of the audiovisual strain, it really just has to appeal to that audience and be attention grabbing. I think what a lot of people don't do is they don't spend time with the headline of a blog article, let's say, or even the headline of an email if they're doing email marketing. You know, Ashley, you've seen me sitting at my desk just staring into space for 10, 15 minutes at a time. And then I think when I started here, you're like, sort of, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm thinking of a headline. I'm thinking of a title, because most people will just read headlines and or share headlines on the premise of the headlines. A lot of people don't even read the stuff anymore. But if you want to start driving traffic, you have to sort of create that endpoint with consumers that's shareable and that's exciting and that's attention grabbing. And a lot of that starts with the headline and or the first paragraph of a piece. You have that much to appeal to your audience or not.
You mentioned emails. When you're writing content for emails, how do you make sure they get opened? What do you do to ensure that most people possible are opening those emails?
I think being clear and concise, especially in emails, and I mean, this goes back to all of the content that we've talked about. Getting to the point, don't tell me something in a paragraph when you can tell it to me in a sentence. And I mean, this rings true for emails. The best marketing emails, I feel like, are 3, maybe 4 sentences long, and that's it. They're giving people the goods right away, right off the top. I mean, the headline should basically sort of be a too long, didn't read sort of substitute for your email anyways. And beyond that, injecting a little bit of that brand personality, and that's something we haven't really touched on, and I know it's probably a discussion that might even be too long for this podcast episode, but suffice to say, like, don't be afraid for your company to be themselves. You know, if you're cool, if you're a younger, trendy company, like, don't be shy about even using something as simple as emoji in the title of your email and the body text. I mean, it gets people engaged, and it's sort of what people are using in their everyday lives. So yeah, injecting personality, short and to the point, and you know, continuing to adhere to the golden rule of giving your audience what they want.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said about maintaining your brand's identity, personality, voice, tone in your content, and making sure that it matches the tone and voice that they get when they walk into your building. You don't want a super casual building and then get these really formal business emails. You're like, who's writing this? Do I know them? Have I met them before?
and it'll make it seem as though whomever's writing your emails, and then to a certain extent, your brand, your company, your business is sort of almost not in tune with itself 100%. And that disconnect is going to make people not open the emails, is going to make people unsubscribe from your mailing list quicker than you think. I think people are willing to give somewhat engaging content to engaging content the time of day for the most part, but then content that's boring, content that is sort of suffocating in that lack of personality, that sort of sentiment will travel faster and you will see unsubscribes with lightning speed.
So what type of content do you recommend sharing in these emails?
I think emails are still a pretty intimate place for consumers. You're getting them, like, it's not a shared inbox type thing like some social media can feel like a little bit. It's not part of a larger community. You're still getting the person in the morning before they go to bed at night on their lunch break, checking their emails. So you have to be important. If it's discounts, if it's promos, if it's we've got this great new feature, this great new product, service, you know, really get them excited. To me, it's part of a larger online marketing strategy, and emails are still a great way of, you know, just sort of enticing people and really drawing them towards your brand. I always look at it as, for all the folks out there who have seen the ET, the Extraterrestrial, and if you haven't, just stop and go and watch it now and then come back and listen to the rest of this podcast. We'll wait
for
you. There's that scene where he's trying to get the alien into his house, and he's drawing the creature with the little Reese's pieces up the stairs and into his bedroom. And that's really what you're doing from a marketing standpoint with emails, with all of your content. You're putting the little candies on the ground and you're giving them that reason to go one more step forward, right? So I think emails just have to excite people, have to engage them, and lead them to that next little itty bitty reward that you have in store.
Yeah, and I think keeping them engaged too. I think a lot of the times with marketing, we create content, we market to customers that we don't have yet, but it's super important to be marketing to your current customers. You already have their attention. They've already invested in you. You want to make sure that they stay loyal, stay engaged. So I think my recommendation in your podcast is to create content for your current clients as well.
I mean, I totally agree. And it goes beyond just the email stuff too. You have to create blog content, podcast episodes that are going to appeal to people who are familiar with you, who have been around for a long time engaging with your brand. You have to have, it's like if you were managing a bar, you're catering to the people that are walking in off the street randomly for a beer or a shot or something, but then you're going to have the regulars who show up every week.
Who's walking off the street for a shot?
Hold on, I may have said too much about my personal life. No, I'm kidding. but then you have the regulars that are there every week, you know, maybe multiple times a week, and you've got to be able to cater to those people too. And, you know, establishments like that sort of know what side of the ledger those customers fall on. They know exactly how to please them. The good ones do anyway.
Shots.
Yeah, exactly. Or the good bars know how to handle regulars and newcomers too. So I feel like I'm comparing people's businesses to bars, but I mean, I think there's something to be said, yeah, for playing both sides of that fence for sure.
Great. So for the people that went to go watch ET, for people that are listening a little bit later,
and now we're back,
can I get the too long didn't listen version of this podcast in two lines?
Yeah. So to create engaging, compelling content that keeps people coming back, you have to address pain points, fears, desires from your target audience. Doesn't necessarily 100% sync up with your buyer persona, but most of it will. And be consistent in the content creation and lay that trail of Reese's Pieces, just like the young kid did for ET. And you'll see returns over time. It's not going to happen overnight. You got to be in it for the long haul, but give it 3 to 6 months, and I promise you, you'll see those traffic, those engagement, those revenue numbers go up.
Great. Well, thanks for letting me keep your seat warm this episode.
Thank you. I mean, listen, people have to realize that this was a lot of fun. It's not often that I get to be interviewed by my boss on something that's going to be distributed on the internet. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you once again for tuning into the podcast this week. Head on over to amilia.com, that's AMILIA.com, for way more educational material, including ebooks, webinars, and more that can help take your organization to the next level.